gather round, children come, listen to an old, old story of the power of death undone by an infant born of glory, Son of God, Son of Man. Gather round, remember how creation held its breath, how it let out a sigh, filled up the sky with the angels, Son of God, Son of Man. So sing out with joy for the brave little boy who was God, but he made himself nothing. Well, he gave up his pride and he came here and died like a man. Therefore God exalted him to a place of highest praises, and he gave him a name above every name, that the very name of Jesus, Son of God. We would sing out with joy for the brave little boy who was God, but he made himself nothing. Gave up his pride and he came here to die like a man. So in heaven and earth and below, every knee would bow and worship. Some would proclaim, Jesus, he reigns with the angels. So sing out with joy for the brave little boy who was God, but he made himself nothing. Well, he gave up his pride and he came here and died like a man. Gather round, children, come, listen to the old, old story of the power of death undone by an infant born of glory, Son of God, Son of Man. But your people are home. So long, Moses. And hello, Joshua. Goodbye, Canaanites. We're coming to town. 12 tribes and no crown. No crown, oh Lord. We want a king on a throne full of power, with a sword in his fist. Will there ever be a king like this? Hello, Saul, first king of Israel. You were foolish and strong, so you didn't last long. Goodbye, Saul. shepherd from Bethlehem, set the temple of God in mighty Jerusalem. He was a king on a throne full of power, with a sword in his fist. Has there ever been, has there ever been a king like this? Full of wisdom, full of strength, the hearts of the people are his. Hear, O Israel, has there ever been a king like this? Scattered abroad, how long, oh Lord? Oh, so speak, Isaiah, prophet of Judah. Can you tell of the one, the king who's going to come? Will he be a king on a throne full of power, with a sword in his fist? Prophet, tell us, will there be another king like this? Full of wisdom, full of strength, the hearts of the people are his. Prophet, tell us, will there be another king like this?
Captor is no Pharaoh on the Nile. Our toil is neither mud nor brick nor sand. Our ankles bear no calluses from chains, yet Lord, we're bound. Imprisoned here, we dwell in our own land. Deliver us, deliver us, O Yahweh, hear our cry, and gather us beneath your wings tonight. Our sins, they are more numerous than all the lambs we slay. Our shackles, they are made with our own hands. Our toil is our atonement, and our freedom yours to give. So Yahweh, break this silence if you can. Deliver us, deliver us, O Yahweh, hear our cry, and gather us beneath your wings tonight. Gather us beneath your wings.
tonight. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather you beneath my gentle wings.
Our typical greeting is Merry Christmas, right? That's the normal. You should expect that and want that. And I had a thought. And I want you to go with me on this thought. I think it'll make sense if you stay with me on this thought. Christmas is the objective, the heart of it. But why is it Merry? Ever thought about why? I mean, I know most of us are like, dad joke time, right? Because it's Jesus' mom, right? I know. Katie said, don't say it, right? Like, but seriously, think about it. When we talk about Christmas, why is it Merry? And I think a bunch of us would come up with different answers. I think we would come up with traditions, things you like to taste or do, things that you are, people are gonna be around. That's what makes it Merry. I think it's deeper than that. Why is Christmas Merry? I wanna teach that. That it's not just Christmas. Christmas is a big deal. But why is it a big deal? To do so, I wonder if you've ever compared two moments. Week number one, and Christmas number one. These are the first of the two. Week one was fantastic. I wasn't there, okay? My kids think I was. Week number one, when God created the heavens and the earth. Week number one, it's detailed in the book of Genesis. Week number one, where God says, out of pretty nothing, here we go. He starts to build and assemble and put together. Well, you and I call normal. Week number one culminates with the creation of mankind. Puts them in paradise. You've got Adam and Eve in the most epic place. Think about this. All the food they ever want. I don't know why I always start with that, but I'm going to. All the food they ever want. It would have been paradise, whatever setting is like. If you like the ocean, there was probably ocean kind of stuff and water stuff. And if you like mountains, there was probably mountain kind of stuff. It was epic. It was perfect. Frankly, it was so paradise. I'm not sure we even know what paradise is. It was so, so good. Week number one sets the stage for epic life as we actually don't know it. The reason we don't know it is because the devil got a foot. He steps in. He attempts to break this whole paradise that God intended to be absolutely perfect. The Bible describes the devil as a liar. He is a liar. He doesn't just tell one lie. He tells multiple lies. But do you know the devil's been telling one lie in particular over and over and over and over? The lie is you don't need God. He's been saying this lie since the very beginning, saying you don't need God, you don't need God. I can prove it. Genesis 3:5. You've got the devil interacting with Adam and Eve. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. This is his attempt to try to confuse and trick Adam and Eve, going, you'll be like God. In other words, you'll no longer need that guy. And he hasn't stopped. It's fascinating if you study how Eve responds. Eve's response to this moment talks about, but God said, by her saying, but God said, you know what that indicates to us as we read? She's saying, I trust God. I've been trusting God. I got everything like up. I'm all in on God. I'm all for him. He said this, so we've been following it. Well, I've needed God, is what she's been saying. But then he breaks it. He tricks him. He lies to him. You and I have done this. Come on, this is not a confession time. Don't worry about it, especially if you're new. This is not where we confess where we've been duped by the devil. But we've got to admit that life is not perfect. You willing to admit that? This is where it started. if you read on Romans, let me show you. Romans speaks, when Adam sinned, this is referring back to the moment I'm telling you, but this is like way deeper in the Bible. Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin, everyone's sin. This is what plays out. Romans 3:23, before this moment, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. You should be at this point going, this doesn't feel very Christmassy to me. Stay with me. Because we're comparing week one, but then the devil gets involved and breaks things up. So now we got to go to Christmas number one, where it is fully on broken. The people during Christmas one, as you and I would call it, that Christmas, people were desperate. They were craving someone to step in to fix it. God's people were oppressed by a government that had overcome them. They were overtaxed. They were manipulated and tricked. Their power had been removed. Their authority was so minute. They were a people going, where in the world are you, God? We need you, God. We need you, God. We need you, God. Crying out songs we can find back then. Deliver us, deliver us. Problem is, there's something about you and I since we were kids that we had a trouble admitting that we needed something. The longer you need something, sometimes you begin to think that no one's gonna supply your need, so you trick yourself and go, well, then I don't need it anymore. If you've ever had a kid in your home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All of our kids, we've taught them to dress themselves. You're welcome. You're welcome, right? Someone in theory taught you to dress yourself. Maybe you took on that whole lesson, but if you've never done this with a kid, it's not fun, especially at the beginning. Almost every kid does this. You begin to say, here's your outfit for the day. Let me help you put the outfit on. And you know what most kids when they're young say? No. They even go typically further. I don't need help. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it, right? Anyone else got kids like this? Is it just my family? Okay, so I mean, I remember doing this. I was called hard-headed and all this kind of stuff. And it's been fascinating to watch it because as a parent, you just let them do it a couple times. And I should have taken pictures, but I'm not going to do that to them. Where they come down the stairs and their zipper's undone. It's not even buttoned right. Their shirt's on backwards. Their shoes are on the wrong feet. And their hair looks like they rolled around in grease and just, but they said, I don't need your help. And I'm going, yeah, you do. When we were kids, most of us were like this. I don't know if you probably don't know this about yourself, but you were probably like this. You refused. You said, I don't need help. I don't need help. Let me teach you a lesson because some of us still have not gotten out of that mode. I don't have help can easily become I don't need help. That's where many of us get. Christmas number one. There was a massive group of people who had moved past this I don't need help. They had moved into this world going, well, there's hopelessness, so we just live in hopelessness, so it's up to me to fix my life. And so they, many of them, relied on religion to make them feel really good. They started becoming more moral. And then others said, forget all that, I'm just done with all that. I want you thinking about this. What's your thought about Christmas here? Christmas isn't only about giving and receiving, it's about needing. Have you forgotten that you need something? Most of us don't like, maybe, I guess the older you get, you like the gifts that you need because you didn't want to have to buy it yourself, right? But when you're a kid, really, that's not the fun gifts. But you and I think, should have a serious conversation here about, do you know, I know Christmas is fun to give and receive, give and receive, give and receive. But if you want to know why merry is Christmas, you need to know it's about needing. And if you want to know, like, what do I need? What does God think I need? It's in the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1. As he considered this is talking about Joseph, and you'll see this. He's considering leaving Mary because Mary has said, hey, I know we're engaged in, woo, we got the wedding, we got the flowers picked out, but I'm pregnant and it's not yours. So he's like, I'm out. As he considered leaving, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And here is a big, big deal. For he will save his people from their sins. This is a big deal to you, because do you know it's that very statement that had Joseph do what we would call a U-turn? Joseph is out. You and I would have been out if our significant other is like, so this happened. You'd be like, I'm done. But he is out, has this moment, is told that there is a savior coming to save the people from their sins. And he does a U-turn. You know what the lesson is here? Everyone needs a savior. Everyone does. Okay, I do, and I'm a reverend, okay? Some of you are like, well, that's a mark against you. I understand that. No matter what you know in the Bible or don't, no matter what you've been doing with your life, however it is, we all need a savior. When you think about Christmas and why is Christmas Mary? Well, I can tell you why it's Mary. Everyone needs a savior, but there's a harshness to it. A deliverance that you and I actually need. That's what people have been crying out. Deliver me, deliver me. Maybe you've done this with God. Help me, God. Fix this, God. Provide, provide, heal me, do this. And we've cried out, God, I need you, I want you. And if you're any kind of normal, the more you cry out and the more it feels like he's silent on your specific request, some of us stop saying that we need it. We're like, well, then I'm done with you. So here's what I want you to process. And everyone needs a savior, Romans 3:23. This is what I read to you, but it's a big deal. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is a big deal, my friends. This is a big, big, big deal. Do you know that you need a savior? And then let me help you make a connection. Romans 3:23 gets connected all the way down to what I talked to you about. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Listen, if you want to know why Christmas is a big deal, why Christmas is actually Mary, because for generation after generation, people have come to grips that we are not perfect people, and we need more than socks and underwear for Christmas. I love it. So listen. I want you thinking about something for a while. I want to leave you here for a moment. Are you willing to trust that a baby shows up to provide this for you? A baby shows up to be your and my savior.
Abraham had Isaac, Isaac he had Jacob, Jacob he had Judah and his kin. Then Perez and Zerah came from Judah's woman Tamar. Perez he brought Hezron up and then came Aram, then Amminadab, then Nashon, who was the dad of Salmon, who with Rahab fathered Boaz. Ruth, she married Boaz, who had Obed, who had Jesse. Jesse, he had David, who we know as king. David, he had Solomon by dead Uriah's wife. Solomon, well, you all know it. He had good old Rehoboam, followed by Elijah, who had Asa. Asa had Jehoshaphat, had Joram, had Uzziah, who had Jotham, then Ahaz, then Hezekiah, followed by Manasseh, who had Amon, who was a man, who was the father of a good boy named Josiah, who grandfathered Jehoiakim, who caused the Babylonian captivity because he was a liar. Then he had Shealtiel, who begat Zerubbabel, who had Abiud, who had Eliakim. Eliakim had Azar, who had Zadok, who had Achim. Achim was the father of Eliathan. He had Eleazar, who had Mathan, who had Jacob. Now listen very closely, I don't want to sing this twice. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Christ.
From the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
To deliver us all.
So need is not the only thing we need to talk about. Just so you know, if you can't recognize your need for a savior, that's a sticking point. But if you can, we can talk a little bit more. And I can show you more drama in the Christmas story that never gets read. It's one of the weird parts of this. No one ever reads this. Some of you don't even believe me that no one ever reads this. This is when we open presents on Christmas morning with the kids. I read a portion of this. I never read, and you likely never read what I'm about to read to you, but it's in the Christmas story. You want me to read it to you? If there's tons of drama. It's fantastic. See, Joseph is asked, like, by an angel to stick with his fiancée, Mary, and does a bit of a U-turn. You remember that part? Like, all right, he's going to stick. All right, savior of mankind. Okay, I can stick around. I can do a U-turn on that one. And he does it. That's not the only U-turn he has to make. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone. See, I told you it's part of the Christmas story. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Most of us are like, oh, I wonder what they did afterwards, right? They ran for their lives. Most of you know, if you've never heard of this, there is a guy named Herod who comes hunting for Jesus. Jesus is a threat to him. So all of a sudden, he issues a decree that two-year-olds and younger have to be killed. It's horrible what he issues. So an angel warns Mary and Joseph, Joseph specifically, saying, get out of town, literally go and run. Don't you find this fascinating? I think we should bring this stuff up, that Joseph yet again doesn't get to go back to his homeland, go back to the land of Galilee. Now he's running to Egypt. If you know your Bible, guess what God did previously? Led his people out of Egypt. And now he's taking the Savior of mankind back. That's frustrating if you're not catching on. Have you ever walked this journey with God where you feel like you're with God, let's do this, God, let's roll this life, let's do this, and then something happens, you're like, I don't understand. It's because you and I want, and here's how I would show you, we want a kind of life that looks like this. Point A to point B, and it needs to be up and to the right at all times. We want that life, like, God, if we think it works this way, God, all right, I believe you exist. You can have my life. Now, take me exactly there. Right? Am I the only one? These are my prayers. These are my deep prayers. But if you've been online anywhere, you know what this illustration actually shows you. It's on social media all over the place. And we're like, oh yeah, that's how it really works. Here's what life really looks like. That. This is a point you can say amen. You can scream like, yeah, that's right now. Now, here's what I want you to see, because I think this is a big thing. This is a teaching point, is we bemoan this life. We look at this life and we're like, oh, I don't like that life. I don't want that life. We don't tell our kids, you know what life I'm dreaming about for you is this life. No, we tell them graduate high school. All right, now get a job or go to college. And we teach them in straight line thinking, don't we? But what I would tell you, and I'm old enough to say this, but according to the word of God, this is where trust is developed. This is where a relationship gets bridged. This is where the good stuff actually happens in the midst of the bad. I think Joseph is giving us this example. He's going to leave Mary. Now he's not. He's going to go to Galilee. Now he's not. It's U-turn after U-turn. It's trust after trust after trust. That's why I tell you, you not only need to know you need God, you got to trust him. And welcome to the tension of a relationship with the Almighty God. But God's been trying to build trust actually in your life for a long time before you were ever born. It's pretty cool. Maybe you don't know this about the Christmas story. Here, and Isaiah's got a book in the Bible. Isaiah wrote over 100 prophecies about the Savior, about Jesus. Over 100. If you want to nerd out, 102, we believe. 700 years. Before he ever shows up, God speaks to him and has him draft out. You can go read it yourself. Go read Isaiah. It's full of them. Over 100 of this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And guess what? It happened, it happened, it happened, it happened 700 years before it ever happened. I mean, come on. If you and I right now could on a piece of paper write out 100 things that will happen 700 years from now, and the people 700 years from now read what you wrote, you would be like, I hope you pay attention, because that's really hard to do. None of us can do this, right? Unless God does it. Here's what I want you thinking, because Isaiah wrote a lot about the arrival of Jesus. He wrote a lot about that, but he didn't just write about the details of Jesus. He wrote about the details, how Jesus would be killed, where he'd show up, all that stuff. What I find fascinating is not necessarily the details that Isaiah shares about Jesus, it's what he says to do with Jesus. Do you know Isaiah also tells us? Let me show you, and then I think this will help us. Isaiah 12:2, one example. There's a bunch of examples I'm leaving out. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. He's telling you details. Hey, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But you got to trust him. Further on, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust. If you've ever wanted peace, most of us would raise our hands on that one. If you've ever wanted peace, how do you get peace? It seems to be reliant on your trust in God. When you don't have peace, it's often a trust thing. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Again, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. If you read the book of Isaiah in the next week or two, you know what you would learn. Here's what he's telling. I'm going to sum it up so you don't even have to read it, but you should. Isaiah would say, God is coming to save us. We must trust God. And what's beautiful is, his authority and his understanding is validated because all of the prophecies just landed perfectly. Now let me pull some things in. Let me try to help tie a little bit of this together. Romans 5:17. I read you earlier, Romans 5. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. Okay, sad news. But here's the good stuff. If you've been waiting, when's the good stuff coming? But even greater, even greater, even greater. Let me help you. For the sin of this woman, sin. You got sin in your minds? Sin. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. Such good Christmas language. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. The only way for you to walk, remember that line, the squiggly line, I think in my head, the rat's nest of life? If you have any desire on doing that well, on not losing your mind in it, if you have any craving at all to walk this life as you should, walking this life right is not always walking from A to B, it's walking wherever you are, trusting in the Almighty God. Christmas is this moment that God shows up saying, proving over and over, you need me. So, we've talked about week one, that was epic. Christmas one, coming in the midst of people crying out, deliver me, deliver me. But none of us are there right now. We are, you know where we are, Christmas 2023. What do we do with Christmas this year? Did you know our world is pretty jacked up right now? But some of us, it's not the news I'm talking about. It's your own life. It's the relationships that you have that you would say are actually jacked up. It's your perspective on life that many of us have. It's just completely jacked up. Many of us are consumed with anxiety and worry. We're consumed with the decisions that we've made or that others have made on our behalf. We're consumed with what's going on globally, but a lot of us, it's all the way inside of your home and you're going, what in the world do I do at Christmas? Christmas, back to where we started, doesn't feel very merry. It doesn't have to hinge on a straight line. Here's what we've learned. I hope you caught it. Christmas 2023 means you got to decide who you're going to trust. Remember the kids trying to put the clothes on themselves, saying, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you. Do you know the trick? Parents, I'm going to give you a trick. Your kids are eventually going to have to learn to trust you. Oh, it's annoying. Building trust is not the most fun thing in life. And most of us would say between us and God, right? Between us and God, it's difficult to trust. Here's what I want you just considering. Maybe in your life right now, you've been asking God to do this, do that, and he's going, I want you to do what I would call a U-turn. Maybe some of us need to look at our own lives and say, I need to not rely on myself or what I've been relying on or hoping on. Maybe it's about God. Maybe I need to actually put my faith in the Savior who showed up for me. Need. So whatever you're in life doing right now, whatever a big deal is to you right now, here's what I want you to consider. You need God. God wants to be involved in your life. You just have to figure out, will you put trust in him? And the most difficult part of trust is turning around. It's that step of going, I'm not going to rely on me. That's some of us. But let's be very, very, let me just be straightforward with you. Some of us, our greatest need is not necessarily a normal relationship or financial or even health. It's deeper than that. It's your very soul. We're gathered at church. Why not talk about our soul for a minute? I don't know how it's been going for you lately. I don't know where you are with God, but I want to bring you to a point perhaps that you'd consider putting your trust in God, not your trust in me, not your trust in Fountain Springs Church, your trust in God. Romans 3:23, it's the bad news. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. If you're willing to recognize this, that is actually a great step to engage Christmas because there's good news. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I always joke with our church, if you're brand new, my kids always want me to get to the point. And I don't, so I'm gonna get to the point. Christmas. Let the Savior become my Savior. That requires trust. The Savior, the Savior the Bible talks about, the Savior that Christianity talks about, the Savior that was pronounced by angels, the Savior, the Savior. But we've got to move the Savior, being this religious almost institution, this religious thought, into our lives and say, I want him to be my Savior. And that involves an act of trust, a moment of trust. And listen, my friends, I would love to walk you into a moment of trust. You're going to have to trust me. If you have never done this, where you've declared to God, even going, I want to trust you, I'm going to try to trust you, I'm going to give you my life, I think this is a great moment for Christmas to do this. So, if you believe what I've read to you from the Bible, let's process this together. I want you to have a conversation with God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Just to free you up from distraction. If you've never talked to God about your very soul and trust, and you know, I don't know what to say. You can just say this to him just privately, quietly. He hears you in your head. God, I need you. That's the first step. God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to come into my life. I need your help. God, I can't do this life on my own by myself. God, I can't make every decision and know all that I need to know and be where I need to be. I need you. God, I need your help at school or at work. God, I need your help with family and with friends. I need your help when I'm by myself and when I'm around others. God, I need you. I want you. So Lord, would you come into my life? I choose today to trust you. I give you my life. God, would you forgive my sins and lead me the rest of my life? I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna trust you today. I'm gonna trust you tomorrow. But I give you my life. Today, Lord, I'm taking a U-turn like you led Joseph on, and I'm gonna follow you now. I pray this in the name of my Savior now, Jesus. Amen. So remember, I told you I'm gonna invite you into a moment of trust. We'll see what you do with this. I'm always a big fan of physically stepping out when you'd make a decision with God. So here's what we're doing. We're gonna paint. I know, hold on. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'm gonna invite you into a moment where you actually come up to right in front of the stage. There's paper, there's paint, and I want you to paint yourself a U-turn. And then I want you to take that with you, because I think you're gonna need a reminder tomorrow and the day after and the day after, the day after, the moment that life looks like the rat nest again and you're like, I don't like this, I want A to B. And God's like, no. No, you said you trust me. So here's what I'm gonna do. For those of you who prayed that prayer with me and you're like, I decided to follow Jesus, I'm in on this. Maybe you recommitted like you a long time ago, but now you're like, you're serious about this. Maybe it was your first time. I'm gonna invite you. I'm gonna do a dad moment where I'm gonna count down and walk off the stage, and then that's like your turn to come up and paint the you as we sing and celebrate. But before you do it, there's this. Don't you ever, ever, ever think you can do this by yourself. If you wanna know, if you're new to this, Fountain Springs Church, we think that we are literally better together, that we need each other. I know that I need people in my life to support me, to encourage me, to challenge me, to walk with me. I need it, I think you need it too. So if you prayed that, here's what I want you to do. If you got a phone, get it out, and right now, text the word turn to that number. You got it, I mean, it's very simple. You've done this before many times. I want you to text me. I want to know your name so I can pray for you. I'm not going to sell you anything. This isn't a 10% off. But this is a test. Because some of us make decisions in a moment that are simply emotional. Don't do that. This is a real decision you have made. So, if you prayed that, I want you to text me that information. I want you to just text this. And then I want you to come up, paint yourself a you, and never forget this moment for the rest of your life. I don't think you need any more instructions. It's time for me to be dad. So here we go. It's your service. 3, 2, 1. Thank you.
walk in darkness deep, now see the light of morning. The mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin.
If you would, let's stand together.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Over the course of this time, we've loved being able to share with you the story that we believe walks all throughout the Word of God and leading up to the reality of what does it look like to say yes and make a statement in the midst of our lives. And so from our family, from my family to you, Merry Christmas. We pray that it is a joyous, wonderful, and maybe for the first time, an amazingly new reason to celebrate. But we believe in the faithfulness of our God. And that is one of the things that is so powerful about Him, because it leads us not just to something that we read about, but it becomes our story. It becomes something that we engage with Him in such a powerful way. And we believe that there's power in saying yes to things. And so in the middle of what we do as a church and believe that God has called us and led us to, we have this thing called the Shine Offering. And there has been a challenge put out there of saying we believe and want to see 500 people take a step of saying we are going to bring our gift, a gift of saying that God is faithful and that we want to trust Him and use that to show others who Jesus is, to allow the church to be the church, to say we know that there are individuals that need to know about Him. And we want to make a statement as a church to say we trust Him, we believe Him. And out of that comes a story, powerful stories, that we could take time to fill up the rest of this evening of friends, of individuals that have said yes to something to be obedient to God and walk that out and see things happen in the midst of their life that they can't explain. And so many of you are going to sit around with family and friends, and you're going to recount things, and you're going to talk about things, and you're going to share about things. And one of the things that we pray happens is that you talk about the things of God, the faithfulness of God, the way He has changed and made you new because you said yes. So in this moment now, may this be an opportunity for you to say yes and say, I want to be a part of that. Ways to engage it, to say yes, to say we want to see the faithfulness of God in our life. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for from week one to today. I believe you have been working and orchestrating and showing up, and that you would lead us to see with new eyes the ways that we used to live. We don't live that way anymore because your power, your plan, your forgiveness, your faithfulness has been at work in our lives all throughout this time. And so God, we don't just speak that, we share it and we celebrate it. And we share about the goodness of our God, because we know that there are people around us that need to know Him. May we see U-turns upon U-turns in the days to come. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask all this in your amazing name. Thank you for this time, for this Merry Christmas. We pray it in your name. Amen.